How many of you know Jesus is coming back just like he promised? Good. That sounds like a room full of people that better be ready then. And his disciples asked him the questions. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24 with me. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Come on, say amen when you get there. Matthew chapter 24, his disciples asked him the question. Y'all know Jesus is coming back just like he promised. Okay, four of you do this time. Listen. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, starting in verse 1. Look at this. Jesus was at the temple. He says he went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. They come up to show Jesus the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things?" Look, he said, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then he says, as they sat on the Mount of Olives, that question, I want you to think about, had so disturbed the disciples. We'll talk about that. But he says, now as he sat, verse 3, on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered to them and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Listen. "For nation will rise against nation." That word is ethnos in the original. Ethnic against ethnic. Ethnicity. People against people. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines. There will be pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Listen. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake." Watch this. "And then many will be offended. Many will betray one another. Many will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound," that word lawlessness, the King James says iniquity. Lawlessness and iniquity are the same thing. It's different than sin. We're going to explain that to you. He says, "And because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold." The Bible says the love of many, the King James says, wax cold. "Because lawlessness will abound, for the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel," come on somebody, "and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Thank you. I always think it's amazing, and I want you to listen. Now, I always think it's amazing that they start this story, and it starts out with Jesus and his disciples at the temple. They're at the temple, and Jesus is there, and his disciples are trying to show him how beautiful this temple is that Herod built. Jesus leaves the temple. Read verse 1. He says, now his disciples are walking him around and trying to show him the temple as if it would impress Jesus. So it's amazing to me that they're going to brag and show the magnificence of the temple that Herod has built, that he is trying to restore the former glory of the one that Solomon had built. And they're taking him around and they're showing him all the things that man's hands had built for the kingdom of God. And at some point, listen, like Jesus is going to be impressed, right? And at some point, Jesus looks at him and he says, "I want you to look at the most prominent piece of stone. I want you to look at the biggest, strongest, most stable part of this temple." These stones, some of these stones, some of them the size of this stage, some of them were like the size of a school bus. I mean, this place, do y'all understand what I'm telling you? Massive, massive, massive stones, like I said. And so Jesus says, "I want you to focus on just some aspect of this man-made temple that you're just so impressed with." Come on. He says, I want you to focus and I want you to look at it. He says, you're just basically wasting my time giving me a tour of what man's hands has built. He says, so I want you to look at the most prominent piece of this temple. And then I'm going to tell you that not one piece of this. Not one piece of this stone will be left upon another. The kingdom that you think is going to endure forever. Jesus said, I want you to understand. Focus on it and look at it, because everything that you see made by man's hands is going to be toppled over. And that happened in 70 AD. We talked about that last week. Remember, Jerusalem was seized and the temple was destroyed by the Roman general Titus. And then, as if it so disturbed the disciples. Come on, y'all. What Jesus had told him, what do you mean everything made with man's hands is going to be destroyed? What are you talking about? It so disturbed them that later that evening they are sitting on the Mount of Olives. And then that comment that there would become an end to everything that man has built, that as they're sitting there, the disciples come to him privately and they ask him two very pressing questions. They ask him two pressing questions. Listen, number one, when will the end of the world be? When will you come again, right? And number two, what will the signs of your coming be? When will the end be? That deals with timing, number one. And number two, what will your signs be? They asked him two very pressing questions. An amazing thing about Jesus is that throughout the scriptures, if you read them, you better be reading. Thank you. Throughout the scriptures, listen, amazing thing about Jesus is throughout the scriptures, he has an uncanny way of answering questions and not telling you what you want to hear, but telling you things you need to hear. Come on. Come on. Because they asked him two questions, when and what are the signs? But he has an uncanny way of telling you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. It's almost like his answer to when will the end come, what will be the signs. If you read Jesus' answer, listen, he gives them five essential things that they need to know that really didn't have much to do with the signs that they were asking, really didn't have anything to do with the timing that they were wanting to know. And really, amen, come on somebody. It's almost like he said this. He says, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to do to prepare yourself. Church, are we in the end time? Is this it? The age-old question. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear, when. What are the signs? Because isn't that all people really want with prophecy? Isn't that all people really want with prophecy? When is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? What's this? What's this mean? What's that mean? What is it? That's what we want to know. Who's going to be the Antichrist? When is this going to happen? When is the one more? Come on, Jesus shifts gears in this text. He shifts gears in this text, y'all. He don't tell them what they want to hear. He says, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. Concerning the essential things that you need to know when you see these things begin to come to pass. That's what he said. When you start seeing these things, now listen, he said, I want you to have these five things that are very prevalent in your mind. I want you to have these things that you focus on. I want you to put this at the forefront when you start seeing these things. When they're saying, when is the end of the world and what are the signs of the times? And he throws them a few signs, right? He throws them a few. He gives them, you know, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. You'll hear of pestilence and famines and ethnic against ethnic nation, people against people. Come on, somebody. He gives them a few signs, but then he really starts naming the things that has to be the focus of the generations that are living in the age of the coming of the Lord. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you think you are the generation that is living in the age of the coming of the Lord? Yeah. Do you? Then these are five very important things that you better work on, church. Five very important things. Here's what he said. The first thing he says, and it's so amazing. Watch this. Matthew 24:4. Look. Jesus said, number one, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed to yourself. Take heed. Everybody say, take heed. He said the number one priority for you is not what's going on out here. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to. He said the number one priority, the number one priority for you to worry about in the end time is not what's going on out here. He said you better take heed to yourself and worry about what's going on in here. That's what he said. The very first thing you're to do. Take heed. When you start seeing the signs of the times, when you start seeing the one world government, when you start seeing the cashless society, and you start seeing the Antichrist in his systems. When you start seeing this stuff coming up in our nation, in our country, he said, when you start seeing that rise, when you start seeing everything that the Bible predicts will happen, the number one thing you're to do, first and foremost, is take heed to yourself. Right here. Right here. When you start seeing all this stuff going on out there, you better worry about what's going on in here. I'm here to tell you, we want the details of the plan. We want the signs of the times, don't we? But Jesus said, what you need to do is you need to take heed to yourself. The end time is not about what's going on out here. The end time is about what's going on in here, y'all. Because if you don't get this right, if you don't get this right, it's not going to matter. Church, you hear me? The end time is about what's going on in here. We want the details. We want the plan. He said, but you need to worry about what's happening in here. And what God is saying is that as you see the signs of the times happening, the question is, what's going on in here? Not out there. Amen. What's going on in here? Not out there. Listen, now, how's my relationship with Jesus? How's my passion to God? When you start seeing these end things going on, how's my passion to God? He said, take heed to yourself. What am I looking at? What am I doing? How's my heart position? Am I doing things that are impure? How am I living my life? When you start seeing these things and the signs of the times and the end's coming, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing with myself? How am I living my life? Amen. You have got to take heed to yourself. Heed to yourself. Take heed means to take inventory. Look around. Look around. Take heed. Take inventory. Look around in your heart. Ask yourself some hard questions. Pay attention. The word take heed means to be alert. Come on, y'all. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Paul said, take heed to yourself. Pay attention and take heed to the doctrine. He said, take heed to the doctrine. Make sure that you're not deceived by false prophets and that you stick fast and take heed to the truth. Amen. This is the truth, y'all. I'll tell you, many people, I'll tell you what, many people in the church are becoming so sidetracked by the signs. They're becoming so sidetracked by the signs and everything else that they're not really even in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. They're more worried about what's going on, and they're really not even in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And the number one thing he said is when you see this and you see the world going crazy, he said, take heed to yourself. The number one thing, take heed to yourself. Amen. Amen. Number one thing. The first thing you need to do is not focus out there. He said, take heed to yourself that no one deceives you. Say amen, church. And then he says something powerful. The first thing is to, well, take it. And I just want to say this to everyone this morning, that the number one thing that we ought to be concerned with today, the number one thing that we ought to be concerned with in our entire life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. It's the number one thing. Are you praying? Are you reading his word? Are you spending time with him? Are you living right? Are you loving people? Are you forgiving people? Are you ready to go if the trumpet was to sound right now? Are you ready to go? Take heed to yourself. Do inventory. Am I being deceived? Am I just playing church? Oh, come on, somebody. Am I just playing church? Am I being deceived? Have I fallen out? Am I even reading the Bible anymore? That's a challenge to you. Check yourself. Take heed to yourself. Is this all the worship in God I get? Is this all the worship in God I get in my life right here for an hour on Sunday? Do you have a private worship time? Church, do you have a private worship time? Do you have a private prayer time? It's so important. Do you ever talk to God on your own? It's so important. Take heed to yourself. It's so important what's going on in here. Amen. It's the most important thing. Everybody say, take heed.
Take heed.
Okay. And then notice what he says next. The next thing he says, Matthew 24, 6. Watch this. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Amen. But watch this. Here it is. He says, see that you are not troubled. See that you are not troubled. The second thing Jesus said is, do not be troubled. You're going to hear of all this stuff. Amen. The word trouble comes from the word agitation. Don't let a spirit of agitation come on you in the end times. Everybody's agitated. Everybody's agitated. Everybody's mean. Come on, y'all. Everybody's agitated. Everybody's at each other all the time. And this group is fighting that group. And this party's fighting that party. And we're so agitated and divided. And everybody on the internet attacking and destroying everybody. Come on. It's a world full of agitation. Come on. He said, don't get agitated. Don't get into being troubled or agitated. He said, don't be troubled. First thing, take heed to yourself. Don't worry more about what's going on out there than what's going on in here. And secondly, don't let it trouble you. Don't let it trouble you. Man, when you see it happening, he said, I don't want you filled with agitation. I don't want you filled with fear. He said, I don't want you troubled, for all these things must come to pass. That's what he said. So don't be troubled. This stuff is going to happen. All these things must come to pass. And then he gives us the third absolute. Check this out, Matthew 24, verse 12 and 13. Because lawlessness will abound. Again, the King James, it says iniquity. Iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. So he says, take heed to yourself. Don't be troubled. And then he says, the love of many is going to wax cold. Right? I want you to understand that he said, lawlessness will abound, or iniquity. And is that happening in our society today? Yes. I said, is that happening in our society today? Yes. Is lawlessness the number one thing you see going on? Church, seriously, do you see the things that are going on in our society? Lawlessness is the number one thing. It's in our society. It's the main thing. And then he said, because of it, the love of many will wax cold. The love of many who? The love of many Christians. The love of many believers. The love of many Christians and many believers. And notice, it don't quickly get cold. It waxes cold. You ever seen wax? It's not instantly growing cold. It waxes cold. It grows cold over time. It's a process. It's a slow fade of the love of God in our heart and the passion for Him and that He's our everything. But it begins to grow cold. Our love for God, our love for other people. It's a cold love. And then He gives us that third point that He says, you got to see it. Even though that's going to happen. He said, the love of many will wax cold. He said, that's going to happen. But then he gives us the third point. Look at verse 13. He says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. The third thing he says for us to do is to endure. The third thing Jesus is telling you is to not quit. Don't quit, church. Don't give up. And let me explain this to you. It's interesting that the word lawlessness or iniquity, for when he said lawlessness or iniquity shall abound, that's different from sin. Okay? That's different from sin. Let me explain it to you. Sin is not the same as iniquity or lawlessness. Iniquity is the knowing violations of established laws. Lawlessness or iniquity is the knowing violation of established law. The knowing violation. In other words, Christians will grow so cold that they know what is right. They know what to do. They know what they should and shouldn't be doing. But iniquity goes deeper than sin. Sin is when somebody just messes up in sin. And listen, I'm not making light of that. I am not making light of that. But iniquity and lawlessness is when you knowingly violate the established rules and the laws of God. It goes so much deeper. In other words, I want to show this to you. Iniquity goes so much deeper because it's the known violation of established law. In other words, it's the opportunity. When he says for opportunity, for violation will abound, the word abound means opportunity. It's everywhere. He said for the known opportunity to violate established laws is everywhere. That's what he's saying. The known opportunity, there will be so much opportunity to sin. It'll be easy to sin. It'll be so convenient. Look at the world we live in. Look at the world we live in. It's so convenient. The love of many will slowly fade cold because of iniquity and lawless, because it's the violation of known laws. Amen. People will compromise more and more. See, when they first got saved, you had convictions. Boy, when you first got saved, you was on fire for God, wasn't you? Huh? You had convictions. You was living right. You was doing the right thing. Come on, somebody. You know who I'm talking to. You was doing the right things. Y'all was acting right. But as it goes and you grow cold. You grow cold. It says the love of many will wax cold. And then you get, you start living a life separated. And then you just begin to get into more and more. Then you start compromising. What happens? Put your soul to sleep. It puts your soul to sleep, and then the love of many starts growing cold. More opportunity to violate known established doctrine of the Word of God. That's the laws. There are more opportunities to violate the known established doctrine of God. Amen. 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 Never has there been the breaking and the violation of morals, teachings, and traditions than right now in our culture. Never in any point in time has there been more moral violations than there are right now. Teachings, traditions, more opportunity to just enjoy any kind of wickedness that you want. Isn't it? Y'all remember that? Look at the internet. Look at the things that used to be hid and now it's all there. He said iniquity will abound. When I was growing up, I had to struggle to sin a little bit. I'd have to walk into a store and act like I was 18. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then you got to go to the back of the store where the magazine's got these little covers on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So you walk in there, a little pimple-faced 14-year-old, going to act like you're 18. I'm just telling you, look around you, iniquity will abound, and it is so much easier now than it has ever been to sin and fall yourself and live in a wicked life. Amen. It is so easy. He said iniquity will abound, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, just to sin. It'll abound. Iniquity will abound. It'll be opportunity after opportunity. He said what'll happen is even the church, and church people will begin to participate. Church people are going to start picking up things in their life, and the love of many is going to start growing cold, y'all. Look around you. Look at the churches. The love of many is going to start growing cold. It's going to start fading away from God. But then he said, but he who endures. Come on, so there's that point. There's that third point. We got to endure. You got to endure. Amen. You got to endure. There will be people in the end time who endures will be saved. Let me tell you this, the person who endures, like, they're just walking away, oh, I guess, since, you know, it's so convenient to sin and I guess I can just do this and this. And it's just everywhere and nobody's looking. I don't have to be pure. I can, you know, do what I want. I'll compromise. But he said, there will be some that endure to the end. There's going to be some that's going to say, hey, you know what? I could do this and get away with it, but I choose not to, because I'm going to endure. I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight. You can endure to the end. The word endure means to finish strong. It means to stand. The word endure means no quitting. The word endure means that I'm willing to stand against this thing. That I'm willing to stand against this thing. That's what the word endure means. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. The word endure is I can stand against this thing. Our faith isn't always in joy. All I hear about in Christianity is enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Sometimes it's not always enjoy, it's endure. Sometimes it's also endure. Sometimes you got to stand strong. Church, it's not always enjoy in this life. Amen. That means taking a stand against what is wrong. That's what endure means. The enemy wants to take many of you to that place of coldness. The enemy wants to take many of you to that place of coldness. The disciples asked him, said, when will the end come? What is going to be the signs of your coming? And Jesus, just like he didn't hear their question, right? He answered and said to them, number one, take heed to yourself. He said, number two, take heed to yourself. Don't worry about all that stuff that's going on out there. Don't worry about 666 and the market of beast. Don't worry about all that. Because if you're right, you ain't going to be here anyway. So take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Don't be troubled. He said, don't be troubled. Don't get agitated. Don't start to fight when you see the end coming. Don't get all stirred up with people. Stay in love with me, Jesus said. Woo. Thirdly, listen, he said, endure. You're going to see many with that spirit of lawlessness. Y'all, look around you. You're going to see a bunch of people with that spirit of lawlessness, with that spirit of iniquity and the known violations of God's word. That's what that is. The known violations of God's word. And just because they're doing it doesn't mean you got to do it. Just because other people are doing it don't mean you got to do it. Because Jesus said, I'm going to have me a church that's going to endure. Amen. Some will, y'all. Some will fade away. Many will wax cold. But there's going to be a people who will not go lukewarm. Come on, somebody. They will not. They will be red hot for God, and they'll make up their mind. I will endure. Come on, Restoration Church. I want to be a part of a church like that. That's going to make up your mind. You're going to endure. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to have me a church that's going to endure. And then watch this. He said, if you'll endure, God says, I can trust you. He said, I can trust you. God is not surprised that you're alive today. Do you know that? God is not surprised that you're alive today, sir. He didn't want the Apostle Paul's generation to be alive right now. He knew God wanted you here. It's not a surprise that you are here today. He knew that you were Christians who would endure to the end. He knew it. God trusts you. God believes in you. God believes more in you than you believe in yourself. Come on, give him some praise for that. Amen. He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. If he wanted the Apostle Paul's generation here today, they would be here. God trusts you. And then he gives us the fourth thing, Matthew chapter 24. I'm almost done, y'all, here. He said, take heed to yourself. Don't be troubled. He said, endure. Whatever you do, stand. Stand strong. Don't grow cold. Watch this, Matthew 24:14. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world and all the nations. It's an emphatic declaration. Jesus said, this gospel will be preached to all the nations. An emphatic declaration that he made. Amen. He said, this gospel will be preached. Well, guess what? Think about all the technology we got now. Is this it? Are we living in the end times? Think about all the technology. He said this gospel will be preached all the way to the end of the earth. Think about it. The internet, thousands and thousands of preachers online. Even our little bitty Restoration Church podcast page. I called Dustin and asked him yesterday, hey man, what are we doing with it? He said not just this country, but people from other countries are listening to us. Ain't they? This little bitty old thing we... People are listening. Jesus said this gospel. All the preachers online, all the things that are going on, he said this gospel. What is our response to the end times? That this gospel right here is to be preached to everybody in the world. All the nations. He said, and then what? The end will come. He said, then the end will come. Man, ladies and gentlemen, we're fulfilling that prophecy right now. We're fulfilling that prophecy right now. We're fulfilling. The gospel's being preached in Guatemala. Come on, somebody. They just went there. They're fixing to go in Greece. All over the nation, all over the world, the gospel is being preached because this is the fulfillment of Jesus' teaching. It's happening. It's happening. These are the days, guys, when these scriptures are being fulfilled. Look around you. These scriptures that I just read are being fulfilled. It's happening. It's happening. The last thing I want you to see, the last thing that Jesus tells us about end time living is recorded in Luke chapter 21. And I want to read it to you because it's really going to bless you. It's really going to bless you. What am I supposed to do as a pastor as I see the signs of the times? When I see the prophecies being fulfilled and the world getting darker and darker and darker. You know, even the atheists and the godless people can look around and say something ain't right. Even the people who are far from God can look around this place and tell that things ain't right. I think everybody's starting to realize how vulnerable we really are. I think everybody's starting to realize how vulnerable it is. Whoa, boy. Especially since COVID, right? Right? Especially since COVID, we thought we were vulnerable or thought we were secure. We thought we had a secure economy and a secure, and we really realized how vulnerable we were, didn't we? Right? Come on. It's the truth. It's the truth. And that's what the disciples were asking him. When will the end of the world be? And what will be the signs of your coming? And Jesus said, I'm going to answer that by letting you hear not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. He said, I want you to take heed. Here's what you need to hear. Take heed. Here's what you need to hear. He said, don't be troubled. Here's what you need to hear. Endure. Here's what you need to hear, that this gospel right here will be preached to all the nations. That's what you need to hear. And lastly, in Luke chapter 21, go to verse 25. He said, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations. With perplexity, the seas and the waves are roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Watch this. Verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Listen, here it is. Here it is. The fifth thing Jesus says to do in end time living right here, verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, watch this. Look up. Look up. He said, look up and lift up your head because your redemption draws you near. You know what he says? He says, when you see these things starting to come to pass, are we seeing them? Come on, church. Are we seeing them? He said, when you see these things start to come to pass, his last word to us is don't walk around downcast, beat up, and downtrodden. He said, look up, church. Look up, because I'm coming. I want to say that is the posture of the church. He said, look up. Lift your heads. In other words, Jesus is talking about the posture of the church in the last days. The posture of the church is one of looking up. Amen. It's one of looking up. We're not to walk around downcast and downtrodden and beat up. We're the church. It's look up. We win. The posture of the church is not walking around in doom and gloom. Amen. We win. Look up. Jesus is coming. The harvest is ready. The field is full of grain. Come on, look up. Amen. He said, your redemption draweth nigh. He said, your redemption draws near. What does that mean? The redemption of your family is about to happen. The redemption of your husband that's left. The redemption of your brother or sister. The people you've been praying for. The people that have not been living right for God. The redemption, your redemption draws near. Amen. Redemption for you and for your family. Isn't that something? Look up before the coming of the Lord. Because here it is. God is going to send grace. He's going to send a lot of grace. And it's going to start drawing people. Church, it's going to start drawing people. He's going to draw, and he said, for your redemption. Meaning you and your family. Listen, as for me and my house, come on somebody, I don't just get saved. Your redemption is drawing near. I don't just get saved. I don't just get saved. It's your family. It's your redemption. He said, I want you to look up. The last thing he said is the posture of the believer is looking up, saying, my goodness, redemption is drawing near. Let's get ready. Amen. The people I've been praying for, my kids that are drug addicts, my son that's gone off the rails, whatever kind of mess and stuff that's been going on in your families, redemption is coming. Look up. He's bringing redemption in those situations. He's bringing redemption to those family members, to those crises. And he says, I don't want you filled with worry. I want you to have wisdom for the end time. That's what he's telling them. When are you coming? What are the signs? He said, I want you to have wisdom. And the posture of the church is not a posture of despair. He said, look up. My posture is not a posture of fear and downcast and hopelessness in the end times. But God wants to change you from a downcast to a look up. I said, God wants to change you from a downcast to a look up, because your redemption draws near. Your redemption draws near. He wants you to go from a downcast to a look up. So this morning, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But I hear the Lord in my spirit saying, tell them to look up. Tell them to look up. Look up. This is the day of redemption. It's drawing close to the house. It's drawing close to your family. It's drawing close to your kids and your future. People you've been praying for a long time. Can I tell you, your redemption is drawing near. So what am I to do in the end times, Pastor? Thanks for asking. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Why? Why don't you do that? Take inventory. Why don't you do that? Take inventory of yourself. We're so looking for signs out there, but what about in here? I tell you, it's more important. It's more important what's going on in here. Then if you're filled with fear, do not be troubled, he said. And then if you say, well, it's so easy to sin. Come on, y'all. Iniquity abounds. Lawlessness abounds. It's plentiful. It's easy. There's ample opportunity to get into any kind of wickedness you want. But he said, right in the middle of that kind of society. You're to endure. You're to stand strong. You're to stand firm. Right in the middle of that kind of society. Come on, church. You're to endure, and then we're going to keep preaching the gospel. I said we're going to keep preaching the gospel. I said we're going to keep preaching the gospel. But then he said the last thing, and the posture of the believer is not downcast, but he said, look up. Do you know what the difference between us and the world ought to be? Come on. We ought to be people that are looking up. We're optimistic. We got plans. We got hope. We got faith. We're filled with a future. We're going through the same stuff that they're going through. Come on, y'all. The church, we're going through the same stuff as the world's going through. But we're to have a posture of look up. We're to have a posture of faith. That's the difference between you and the world. Amen. You're supposed to have a posture. Our outlook is up. Our faith is up. Our praise is up. And that's God's word to you today. Amen. That's God's word to you today. And the Lord wants to take you from a downcast to a look up. Praise the Lord.